Hello, and welcome to the next episode of The Prestige, a podcast about films, filmmaking, and film theory.
In each episode, we'll focus on a particular movie, and we're going to review it, talk about it, and discuss some of the ideas and themes that it throws up.
And as always, we'll end our show with films to watch following this week's film, recommendations, further reading, if you will. The link's going to be as tenuous, as close as we like, on actors, or whatever else takes our fancy.
First of all, who are we? If you're listening this far, you know exactly who we are. He's a filmmaker, creative, artistic type, and I pick holes in other people's work. I criticise things. And I'm a teacher as well, in the daytime. That's who we are.
Brilliant. And this week, Sam, it was your choice of film.
Yeah. Now...
What film did we watch, Sam?
Oh, jeez. Before we say anything, I would just say, I'm sorry to Rob, and I'm sorry to anyone else who thought, oh, this is a good idea. I'll watch this film and see what they have to say about it, because it's really not worth anyone's time.
Why are you talking to that horse? Why am I covered in dirt?
I buried you.
Why am I alive?
Eight men rode into canyon. I dug seven graves.
I kind of knew a bit about this film, kind of thought it would be bad, but thought, well, how bad can it be? It's a bit of a joke, it's a bit of fun, we can have some fun poking holes in it, and everyone's a winner. And it turns out that no, it was really not possible to enjoy it. And I mean, if it had been a 15-minute YouTube clip, then that would probably have done as a joke, but it was rather a lot longer than that. Anyway, so, Lone Ranger. Directed by Gore Verbinski. Lone Ranger stars, I can't believe I'm saying this, Johnny Depp as the Native American Tonto and Arnie Hammer as the Lone Ranger. And it's basically the origin story of this outlaw pairing. And it follows quite closely from the original TV series shared in the late 40s and 50s. Lone Ranger is John Reed, who's a county prosecutor who starts the film focused on justice and the law. And it's a story of how, via the death of his brother, amongst other injustices, he turns into the outlaw, whereas he was part of the law. And the idea of riding out and there being dead bodies and he's the only survivor of this ambush and he has to avenge people is, as I said, it's from the TV series. Although it's seven bodies rather than six here, presumably because they wanted one more to show how, I don't know, how traumatised he was by Dan's death and that sort of fueling his quest, as it were. I'm not worried about spoilers here. For one, because this happens right at the beginning of the film, and for two, because just don't bother. I mean, I'm not spoiling anything. It's terrible. And there are a few supporting performances from people you know. Ruth Wilson... Rebecca, who was good but underused. Helena Bonham Carter, who is good but underused in pretty much everything she ever does. William Fichtner, who is Butch Cavendish, who was alright, but meh. Tom Wilkinson, Latham Cole, and I always find Tom Wilkinson a bit meh. That was it. Rob, your thoughts?
My thoughts on the Lone Ranger. I will say this: this is a bit of behind the scenes. There was an early draft of this podcast that was called something like Cult / Ur. The idea being that I would bring the cult and Sam bring the culture. And that's been very much the parts we play. I'm the lowbrow and Sam's more the highbrow. And so I'm so very glad. I'm so very glad that the person who recommended this film this week was Sam. It wasn't me. This was a bad film. This is an aggressively bad film.
Yeah.
I can't understand how a film can be so long and dull and yet so confusing and overloaded with characters and plot. I don't understand a film that can try and think that it's okay to have slapstick scenes butting up against a scene in which someone literally cuts out someone's heart and eats it. There's literally a scene in which the entire Native American tribe is slaughtered by a gun. The scene ends with a visual gag of a horse up a tree wearing a hat. I can't explain how bad this film is. It had no idea what it wanted to be. Because there's some really emotional stuff in the film about, you know, the slaughter of Native Americans by American forces. And you do see, in several scenes, the slaughter of whole tribes. The whole tribes dying. And there's some sort of allegory around them. One Native American selling out his tribe for some silver. And then it butts up against these silly, stupid scenes with Helen Bonham Carter having some sort of shotgun embedded in her fake leg. Slapstick. This running joke of this amazing horse that can walk on anything. It's just like, what film is this? This film made Wild Wild West look coherent.
Yes.
And that isn't even touching on the bizarre racial politics of casting Johnny Depp as a Native American character.
I have something. I've got a note. Sorry to interrupt you, but I've got a note on my iPhone. I was so worked up about this film that I wrote something on my phone on the way to work the other day, just about how angry this Johnny Depp travesty made me. It's just horrible. It's horrible and horribly racist and horrible. This film. I don't understand. Yes, sorry, carry on.
I can only agree. I think that this film is full of good actors. Like, all the look at the top billed cast for this film. You've got Johnny Depp, Armie Hammer, William Fitcher, Tom Wilkinson, Ruth Wilson, Helen Bonham Carter, James Badge Dale. You know, you've got good actors and it's a good director. The director's made some good films. But my God, it was painful to watch. And I will watch any old crap. It was just, I didn't care. You know, the idea that an outlaw, lawman, has to give up the idea of justice and truth. Like, he's all about justice. Like, the Lone Ranger is all about justice. And somehow we're better buy in that by coming to Lone Ranger, he's giving up justice. Like, that's just justice.
And there were times when he first gets called the Lone Ranger, there's no reason for him being called the Lone Ranger. Yeah. It takes the whole of the rest of the film when you think, oh right, all the other Lone Rangers are dead and he is the lone one who's come to save the day. But none of that explanation has happened. When someone says, oh, it's the Lone Ranger, you think, why is he called that? Just makes no sense. And there are several things that make no sense in this film. There are times when Tonto is talking to the boy at the beginning, Tonto played by a Native American, because it's quite obvious that Johnny Depp is supposed to be a Native American. But there are times when the boy says to Tonto, hey, you didn't tell me about this bit. And, like, finding the explosives, and Tonto will go back and explain that. But there are some things that really, that he just says, oh, I told you, or, oh, I'm never going to tell you. And things like how he gets out of jail right at the beginning. Mm. You think, that's just a huge plot hole. Why?
It's lazy filmmaking. It's just,
yes.
I mean, Sam, as you said this out, Sam comes to the end of a very critical eye. My experience is in the filmmaking in business, and like a film this size is going to have a cast and crew of somewhere around 200 on set and hundreds more in post-production, and it always makes me sad when that many people get that much time to something and it's so bad. You know, it's like I've worked on films that weren't great, and it's disheartening when you bust yourself in this film and like this film. Like, I mean, ultimately, we aren't swimming upstream here to say this film's bad. Like, the general consensus, this is not a good film.
Yeah.
But it's just like it was the worst excesses of things like Wild Wild West, mixed with terrible, terrible sort of racial politics and gender politics. And just the squandering of talent. It was, yeah.
And I've got this iPhone rant. I will carry on. I mean, I've got absolutely nothing against the idea of a Western. I mean, it's the cinematic ancestor of the kind of mindless action films I love. I mean, I love things like, well, Die Hard's an incredible film. Let's not get into that. But I love big budget action films, and Westerns are the ancestors of those, but they're firmly rooted in the past. And if male characters, and let's be honest, it's overwhelmingly men, were brutal and racist, then that's because it's how men were in the 1860s in this part of the States, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's rarely, like here, you've got some kind of weird external racism around the racial politics of casting Johnny Depp as a Native American that structures this narrative. So the racism isn't just internal. You're not just saying, oh, weren't people awful 150 years ago, but look how we changed. It was, weren't people awful 150 years ago, and here's a white man in blackface.
It's like, there are films about racist people. Like, there are films that feature horrendous racism. Things like American History X, which features horrendous racism, but the film itself is not racist.
Exactly,
there are ways to handle racism without being racist. And this film felt like it was trying to handle history, but ended up being... Even, I mean, outside of Johnny Depp, they did have actors of Native American descent playing most of the rest of the Native Americans. But even they couldn't have been more, you know, cliched and stereotypical Native American. They were as drawn by a child watching slightly more cartoons as they could have been. The way they spoke, the way they dressed, everything about them was as cliched as it could be. Now, I will say this just for the sake of having a discussion on the podcast. There is an argument in my head that I'm trying to just to justify this film in some manner, that the framing device of this film is the story is being told from in a funfair, in a freak show, in a kind of carnival to a small child. So it's not like within the contents of the film, these events aren't actually happening to us. They're not happening to us as an audience. We're hearing this story be told, and it's a standard filmic device. But by very nature, we have an unreliable narrator, because we know and we know he's unreliable, and we know it's being told to a child in a funfair. So I don't know whether they, and this is me giving them a world of rope to hang themselves with, but it was the intention to be, yes, this is simplistic. Yes, this is a throwback to those Saturday morning adventure serials of our youth. And it's meant to be a simple story told to a child. So it isn't going to have the in-depth racial discussions of things like Unforgiven, let's say, or American History X. Because this framing device is being told by an old, forgetful man to a child as part of a funfair, which I'm well aware I'm reaching a little bit to get that kind of plan, but I think that is the only way in which I can square it in my head, is that this was their intention. It was meant to be unreliable and childlike, and that throwback to the serials, which is fine. I totally get the idea of throwing back to that kind of shows. That's what Lone Ranger was. But one of the things we left behind in that time was the casting of different races as in blackface or whatever I don't know what the phrase would be for an American casting, but that idea is something we hopefully left behind. And it seemed my only hope is that they've brought that back as a cultural retro thing, a badly planned and badly done one, an incorrect one to try and grab. But that was the intention.
I think you're giving far too much credit.
I think even if that was their intention, I think it is still a racist intention. And I think it's still a terrible intention. But it's the only way in my mind that I think you could square this that wasn't about, well, we need a big star to play Tonto.
And another thing is actually the date on the funfair right at the beginning is, I believe, 1933, which is significant in Europe because it's the start of the series, the chain of events that led to the Second World War, the Hitler coming to power as Chancellor in Germany, and maybe, just maybe, there was something there about this is harking back to a time when things were wrong with races and the world is about to go back down a dark path again.
But it's
No. Go on.
It's a weird, it's kind of a throwback to a simpler time, throwing back to an even simpler time. But we're supposed to think, well, this is all happening in the 30s, but it's actually really happening about in the 18 whatevers. And it's just, I don't know. I just, from a filmmaking point of view, it was bad. And from a cultural point of view, it was bad. And I will wreak my revenge on Sam at some point in the future and make him watch something terrible in return.
Yes, I'm sure he will. It was. One of the things I've written down was a particularly poignant moment with Danny, the young boy, who comes to the realisation that his father has been killed. And again, no spoilers because it happens at the beginning and also because it's a terrible film, so whatever. but he says, in a train carriage full of adults, "Is my daddy dead?" Now, they are all scared because he's the one holding a loaded gun. It's an 8-year-old holding a loaded gun and waving it around. But also they're scared because you can see all of them thinking, what have we done to an 8-year-old? And that was like the heart of this film. In a better film, that would be what this film was about. It felt like that scene was really important. And then the film just shits all over it by moving him out of the way and carrying on with it.
But
it's like you were saying, there are really beautiful moments, or really not beautiful but poignant moments, like the wiping out of a tribe, and then that's put right up against a moment of pure slapstick, and you realise this film does not care.
No, there's a scene when you see, like, almost the hero's ride of the Native American tribe. They ride to the rescue and they all brutally die. And it is a heart-wrenching scene that, you know, features Johnny Depp comically going up and down on an old-school train carriage. It's just like, and I mean, it made me think that there's a scene in which Johnny Depp crawls along the underside of a carriage and gives a random bullet to the kid. Which I didn't understand until like half an hour later, when suddenly the Lone Ranger needed a bullet, and it's like, what was Tonto doing to give him that? And like, the love story of this film is literally the Lone Ranger with his dead brother's wife, his dead brother who was literally a good man. He was a ranger, did the good, like, maybe a little bit rough around the edges, but like literally a good man. In any other film, the hero.
Yeah,
and like, we're supposed to somehow root for him, and like, and it's clearly set it up prior to his death that there's something between the Lone Ranger and his brother's wife. I'm like, are we supposed to root for this? Are you telling us that's the love story? We know the boyfriend, the husband's around. Are we supposed to root for the death of this character? Because that's the only way that's happening.
And it's set up as they had a relationship before the brother came on the scene, and I suppose you're kind of meant to think, oh, well, that that predates the existence of her relationship with the brother, and that's what how we're meant to root for it. But no, that's not how life works. Like, she moved on. She's had a child
yep.
with this guy, Dan, who is lovely, who is a proper upstanding lawman, who provides for his wife and child, isn't there often enough, but yeah, so what? I mean, he's a working man in the 1860s. He wasn't there. And you're just meant to, you're meant to think badly of him.
But, I mean, once again, that could be a really interesting film. Like, how do you square the fact that a good man died, and what does his wife do? Fall in love with a brother. And that is an interesting film, an interesting element of a film. But it's played for slapstick and then for nothing. Just like suddenly at the end, they're in love and together.
Yes.
And then the idea that he's somehow the saviour, at the end, he rides off anyway and leaves her. Exactly what the brother did. You know, literally at the end, he leaves her and her now orphan, no, not orphan, but like her son in this town and just goes.
I struggle to find good things about this film.
I struggle as well, sir. It was it was a bad film, and
yeah,
let's leave it there. Oh, can you save it with recommendation, Sam?
Well, yeah. Instead of watching this film, in fact, I was having a conversation with a friend this evening, who. Lucky him hasn't seen The Lone Ranger.
Lucky him.
And I said, don't bother, here's a 30-word review, which was, Johnny Depp does Captain Jack Sparrow again, but this time as a pidgin English-speaking Native American. Arnie Hammer is hammy. Hull thinks of piss-poor Western. Watch Butch Cassidy instead. So there's my recommendation for you.
Butch Cassidy.
Watch Butch Cassidy in the Sunlight's Kid, because it's enough. A brilliant film. It's a brilliant film.
It is. Great film.
Well, my other one, actually, it's a bit, I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, and I don't know how many people listening would have seen it, but The Revenant is, as well as being an amazing bit of filmmaking, and Leonardo DiCaprio, blah, 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 Tom Hardy, scenery, Oscars, whatever, as well as that, it has some good moments, not perfect moments, but good moments of political awareness around the relationship between white men and Native Americans. So that's the way to do it.
Hopefully get into it this weekend. So I'll, you know. My recommendations, I went the other way. I mentioned earlier, bad films always make me angry because when they're full of good people.
Yes.
And
right.
When all the elements come together, it should have been great, but it wasn't. At some point we'll touch on Batman and Robin. Very similar situation. So, I've picked out two films from people involved in this film that are good and worth seeing.
Right.
The first one, taking the one that I do like, Arnie Hammer, who
right.
was Lone Ranger, and he was in this year's film, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which, whilst not being certainly a 10 out of 10 film, is a good solid 8.5, I'd say.
Right.
It's fun, it's jokey, it's action-filled, it's everything you kind of want a Bond film to be, and kind of everything you want a Man from U.N.C.L.E. film to be. It's got that old-school 60s sort of swagger and class without being bloated and retro. He's good in it, he is charismatic, he plays a Russian, Kurikin. But he's very, very good. And the whole film is great. But it kind of came and went with nobody seeing it. So I'm kind of... I'm shouting for that one, if anyone gets a chance. The second recommendation from me comes from director, Gore Verbinski. He's done a lot of the Pirates films, which I'm not going to recommend, because I'm not a big fan of those. But I am a fan of his 2005 film, The Weatherman, starring the one true god, Nicolas Cage. Nick Cage plays a weatherman of the title who has lost his wife and kids through divorce and separation, and him coming to terms of how does he balance his job as a weatherman with his family and personal success, professional success, and balancing all of that together and coming to terms with where he is in his life at his age, having done what he's done. Got great support from Michael Caine, from Nicholas Holt, from Gil Bellows, from Hope Davis. Great little film. Well worth checking out. Same director.
Brilliant. I have to say, I looked down the list of Gore Verbinski films when I was thinking about recommendations, but I hadn't seen The Weatherman, so nothing really stuck out because, like you, I'm not a huge Pirates fan. Although I do think that Johnny Depp's Captain Jack Sparrow was funny the first time, just
yes.
Not the second, third, fourth, or indeed here, when he's just Captain Jack Sparrow as a Native American.
Mm. I think for me, The Weatherman jumped out because it's good compared to a lot of others of his, and his obsession with putting Johnny Depp in almost everything.
Yes. Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, do get in touch, people, if you want to speak to either of us about movies or anything at all. Then we're both available on Twitter at Prestige Podcast.
Or you can find just me at Rob Kudju.
Or you can abuse just me for choosing such a terrible film at Life_Academic.
But I think I'm going to have to save us after this week's film. I'm going to have to go good for next week.
Good. Right, where are we going?
We're going back to 2005. We're going to watch Brick.
I know nothing of this.
Starring Jason Gordon-Levitt.
Right.
And I won't. If you haven't seen it, I won't say any more than that without ruining it for you. But it's, I've seen it before. I like it. Spoiler. but I will.
Is it like the one thing? Is it better than The Lone Ranger?
That is not hard, sir. But yes.
Brilliant.
All right, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Prestige is a Kaiju Industries production. Check out their other work at facebook.com/Kaiju Industries. Rawr! Arr.